shouldn't take that long in sort of my last official sermon with you, but I won't. I know that I can't say everything that I would like to say. So as with every other sermon, I simply have asked God, what would you have me say today? The first thing that came to mind is a cartoon that I saw once. It was a shot from the back of a sanctuary looking forward. The congregation is looking at the pastor who's clearly preaching, about to preach, and you can see out, there's a window to the side, and you can see through the window, and there's the pastor's car with suitcases lined up outside of it. And the caption said, "Now I'm going to tell you everything I really wanted to say to you." Well, actually, I'm grateful that this is not a moment like that. That in my preaching, I've said what I felt said needs to be said, and that you have been an incredibly receptive congregation, and I have nothing but love to give this morning. You are a great church for preaching. I've always thought that. And I have probably preached something like 400 to 450 sermons here. That's a lot. It's a lot to sit through. Rod said you have no idea. Poem number 3. But you have not just listened to me, you have responded. You know, a good preaching relationship is one that's really not just one way, it's both ways. And through some nonverbal cues that I read as I preach, or from conversations in the hallway afterwards, or emails that you have sent me, or one-on-ones that we've had, all of that has made me a better preacher over the years, and I'm really grateful. I had a professor in seminary say that all preachers actually really only have one sermon. And what he meant by that was all of us approach faith from a certain perspective, and we all have kind of a theme, a grid through which we see that. And if that's true, I think my one sermon, my kind of theme in preaching, was probably revealed in the very first sermon that I gave here, which I entitled, the same as today, Come and See. And I would say, if I were to sum it up for you, I would say in many different ways, I've said this. Faith is saying yes to the invitation to follow Jesus into an unknown future, trusting that when we go there, we will find all the love, mercy, forgiveness, strength, and purpose that we need, and trusting that we will find God. Well, as I've looked over sort of those sermons for the last 10 years and thought about our ministry together, on the one hand, I've thought about it in terms of time being linear. You know, there is a beginning and there's an end. And we're kind of hitting that time of year anyway. We have lots of graduates this year in the congregation, and you could see displayed with all the children and the now adults before us how time changes and people grow, and sometimes they move on, and we want to hold on to that, and yet we can never quite go back. And we saw that so wonderfully in the timeline that's on the gym, just charting out what God has done over the last decade with us. But I wonder if you've ever experienced time also as circular, that sometimes we experience things and we say, I've been here before. Oh, I have to do this again, or I get to do this again. And it's as if life comes full circle. But it never comes full circle because time is also linear. So when we come back to those things, we're different people. We see it with a different perspective, sometimes a fresh perspective. So I thought, here's my final sermon. I'm going to title it the same thing, Come and See. We're going to look at the same text again from John's gospel, but with new, fresh eyes, having shared so much together. What is it that we see now? And how might it tell us a little bit of what we might expect that God has for us in the future? So what is it that we see when we open the text? Verse 35 and 36 says this. It's right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's been baptized by John, and he's just beginning to gathering to identify those who will follow him for his ministry. It says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When I read that in preparation for today, I thought, that's what we've been doing. That's all that discipleship is. That's what our mutual calling is, to say, hey, there's Jesus. Hey, that's what God is doing. Hey, do you see what I see? And I've come to learn over these years that that's my primary call as a pastor, to be among you and say, hey, do you see that? I think that's God. I think I see Jesus passing by, or I think I see Jesus right here in our midst, or I think I see Jesus right in your life. Look, look, everybody, there is the Lamb of God. And I hope, like me, you have seen God. You have seen God in our shared life together. Because that's primarily what Jesus called people do, to share in God's divine life together. We see it right from the start. Verse 37, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. It's interesting to me that when Jesus has this first encounter with them, and he says, what do you want? They just want to know where he's going. They want to know where he's going to be. And the invitation is to just be with him, to start that relationship, to begin to share in the life that Jesus is bringing. And Jesus doesn't ask, well, let me see your credentials. Jesus doesn't say, well, are you good enough? Are you strong enough? Are you smart enough? What mistakes have you made in your past? I need to see your resume. He just says, what do you want? What is it at your heart's desire? And they say, where are you staying? We'd like to get to know you. That's what I see in this text. That's what I see primarily what we've been doing together over these years, sharing in the life of Christ together. From welcoming babies into our midst, watching children grow and change and develop, celebrating formally in baptisms and weddings and funerals, going on retreats together, studying God's word together, and ultimately, perhaps most primarily, being in worship of our Lord together. We share in God's life. And when we do that, when we follow Jesus, it means sharing deeply in that life. It means being with people in their highest moments of joy and walking with them in their deepest moments of grief. And it also means walking with them in every moment in between and watching for those moments, those special moments when God becomes clear, when you can say, come and see. Do you see what I see? One of those times I will always remember happened in my second year here. It was after worship and after Sunday school, and I was walking down the youth room hallway and made a turn towards the office down the main hallway, and there about 20 feet in front of me were two elderly women, and they were arm in arm, just walking down the hall. And what I knew of them is both were widows. One had been a widow for a number of years. One had just become a widow, and there they were, arm in arm, and one was quietly whispering to the other words of encouragement and comfort and support. And in that moment, it wasn't a hallway moment. It was a holy moment. Look, that's the Lamb of God sharing in that deep life together. Just one of many of those holy moments that I have witnessed. And it's that kind of faith, that deep shared life together, that I think has propelled this church even beyond itself, outside of these walls, outside of this community. Because I've seen God so much there as well. Seen God in our community through this church that has had open doors. And again, we see that in that first call to his disciples. In verse 43, it says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. That invitation to come and see, that invitation to follow, sometimes means it's an invitation to go outside of our places of comfort and safety and peace. Sometimes it means stepping into a new relationship. Sometimes it means trying a new ministry. Sometimes it means a whole change of life. God had me going this way, and now I'm going this way. You never know. Those disciples didn't know. They were just going to follow Jesus to Galilee and see what happens. That was one of the main things that drew me to Highland those years ago, is that here was a church that was telling the next pastor, we are a church who wants to be out in the community. We want to be a church of open doors. We want to be a church that, as the focus statement said, as a community, as the body of Christ at Highland Covenant Church, we will reach the Crossroads community by ministering to children and their families. And you were serious about it. And I hope that you see the fruit of what you decided all those years ago. Our relationship with Jubilee and Highland Middle School, a rejuvenated relationship with Highland Christian School, our ministry, a connection and partnership with Renewal Food Bank, and your generosity in allowing this wonderful facility to be used essentially as a community center. You may not even know how many groups and people come in throughout the week to take advantage and use and be welcomed by your great hospitality in this wonderful place. A few years ago, I received a phone call from somebody from Jubilee Reach. The person said, we've been working with several people here trying to get them back on their feet. They've been through a rough time, but they're making progress. And I've been talking to them about the need for support and the need for church community. And they're open to that now. And I said to them, there's only one church I want you to go to, Highland Covenant Church. And they came and you welcomed them with open arms. As your pastor, it was amazing to see. Absolutely amazing. We're sending them to you. You're the only church I want them to be a part of. That's possible only when you have said yes to that invitation, come and see. Only when you have said yes to that invitation, follow me into places and people unknown. And you have been able to do that because I, as your pastor, have seen that God has been at work in each and every single one of you. And if you have any doubt of it, know you're in good company. We see that even in our text today as well. It says in verse 44, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus said, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael didn't know what to make of Jesus. Can anything good come out of there? And maybe in the back of his mind, can anything good come out of me? Who is this person? But Jesus knew him even before he knew Jesus. It's easy to doubt. I wonder if you've ever wondered that. Can anything good come out of me? Does Jesus know me? Or maybe as a church, you're looking ahead at the days to come and thinking, that's going to be hard. Transitions are hard. New things, unknown. You may even be feeling anxious and unsure. Can anything good come out of hard things, transition times? The answer is clear. Yes. Yes. That Jesus knows, already knows, each and every single one of you. Jesus knows and loves this church. I see God in each one of you. I can do that, I think, with confidence because I have seen God at work in me. When I arrived, I had just turned 30 years old. To many of you, you mentioned it looked more like I was 12. I was a rookie senior pastor, never done it before. And I was excited and full of ideas. And after Kyle's speech last night, you won't be surprised to know that it was actually pages and pages full of ideas. Most of those ideas were about mission and ministry plans and strategies. This is again confirming Kyle's speech. All of these things, what we were going to do and how we were going to do it. And as you heard last night, that's just part of who I am. But as I settled into being a pastor, I noticed a shift. The first thing was that most of those ideas were bad ideas. And they were not going to work here, in this place. And there were far more ideas that were already present and germinating that God had planted in you that I needed to get on board on. That was the first thing I noticed. But the second was a deeper change within me. Really becoming, I think, truly a pastor. It happened because of you. And I think we see that in our text as well. If you notice, even just now, the disciples, they're changing, even in that first encounter with Jesus. First, he's a rabbi, a teacher. Then he's the one promised from the Old Testament. Then somebody says, we think he's the Messiah. Then Nathanael says, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel. It develops and grows as they go on this journey with Jesus. And we know it's got a lot of ups and downs. But when you say yes, when you hear that invitation, come and see and follow me, you are invited into a journey of change that will change you from the inside out. Their understanding of Jesus changed as they walked with him during those years, but their understanding of themselves changed as well. You know, if you've read the Gospels, when they gather together, they're not this tight-knit group. They're kind of competitors with one another to see who has the right answer, to see who can correct each other, to see who can sit at the right hand and left hand of Jesus when he comes in all his glory. But when all is said and done, when they've walked with Jesus through the ups and the downs, through the death of Jesus and his resurrection, where they come out on the other side as servant leaders there with a heart for God and for the world. We're invited into this journey of transformation, and I've seen it in myself as I began to say, yeah, these ministry plans and these strategies, they're great, they're interesting, they're exciting, but I'm far more interested in the people of Highland Covenant Church. And I noticed that relationships with you were becoming far more purposeful, and I could feel sort of my heart enlarge, that it wasn't just about thinking through these things, it was about loving the people that God had entrusted to my care. And I will remember with fondness and deep appreciation all of the things we did together, the ministries that we started. All of that, it's wonderful. But even more, I think I will remember the moments we've had together. Now, some of them are more on the lighter side, like the great fruitcake incident of 2012. Now, if you were here, you know I preached a sermon getting ready in the lead-up to Christmas time in which I talked at length about the history of fruitcake. Now, I can't even remember what theological point I was making. And clearly nobody else could, but they remembered the fruitcake. And within 2 days, my desk was covered with over 15 different types of fruitcake. And I know this has continued to have a life of its own because I found a fruitcake on my plate yesterday. I won't say who did that, but you can ask Nina Bergman. And then I will remember the lighter moments of when you're trying your best and it's just not coming out right. Like I had a sermon on Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and I thought I was being wonderfully crafty and literary and alliterative when I said the devil took Jesus to the tippy top of the temple. And that phrase was repeated to me over and over again for about 2 weeks. And I won't name names, but you can ask Rod and Kyle about that. I think in those moments I have realized that church, pastoral ministry, life together, discipleship, trying to follow Jesus is serious business, but it's so serious that you need to laugh. You need to tap into the joy of the Lord. I think laughter is a fruit of the Spirit. And then I think that laughter and that joy and that sharing life prepares us for those deeper moments. Those deeper moments that I have had the privilege to share with you when we have prayed together. Or when you have heard that voice of Jesus say, come and see. There's something in your life that needs to be changed. Or there's a hard thing that you're going through. And you have taken courage and shared that with me. That has been an amazing privilege. To be part of that journey with you, whether it's grief or loss or change or struggle or doubt, to walk with you in that has been a tremendous honor and privilege. As together we've said, what is God doing here? How does God want to heal this? Where does God want to lead us? I have seen so much of God here, and I hope that you have too. And now I have heard that voice call again to me. Come and see. Follow me. And that has necessitated a new calling. And that new calling for me and for my family requires stepping out of the family and the ministry that we love. And it will require stepping into a lot that's unknown. But I look forward to reporting back to you all the new things that I see. And I look forward to hearing from you all the new things that you see as well. For now, that means the hard thing is that we part and we head in different directions. But I take great comfort knowing that though we head in different directions, we are on the same path because we follow the same Lord. And though time is linear, we have a God who brings things full circle. And I look forward to being back together with you one day. Until God brings us back together, I want to offer you these final words of encouragement. Keep listening for that voice, for those words, come and see. I think they happen to us far more than we realize. Perhaps every day, every morning when we wake up, that voice is there. Come and see what I have for you today. And don't be afraid to follow where Jesus leads you. Whether that's something within in your own life that Jesus says, we need to address that. We need to change that. And it's going to take courage. And you might need to reach out to a friend, but there's something wonderful and joyful and good on the other side. Or it might be something outside of yourself. Take this new step of faith. Reach out to this person. Try this new. Come and see. It might be hard, but there's wonderful things for you on the other side. And as you do that, keep following Jesus together as his church here at Highland. I wonder if you can't think of this transition period that you will enter as a moment collectively to listen to that voice, come and see, because I believe that God has great things in store for this church, that there are things that he has yet to show you, places yet to take you that are going to be wonderful. And yes, it necessitates going through a difficult transition part, but God will be with you in that as well. Above all, trust that the God of all grace, the God of all mercy, the God of all power and strength and compassion and justice, above all, the God of all love, will be with you now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we stand before you today grateful for what we have seen together. Grateful that you are with us, even showing us things now. Grateful that you go with us into the future. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear that voice. Say, come and see, and trust you for the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.